Last week on Almost Entirely Sports.
All right, just give me the team, and I will assume everyone knows the quarterback, and then I'll say Mahomes or that guy. Go ahead.
Arizona.
Mahomes.
From Atlanta.
Mahomes.
Baltimore.
Mahomes.
Buffalo.
Mahomes. I left my house a few days ago, and one of my housemates said, man, you got to ask those people at 810 to stop making you wear all these stupid clothes to work. That's unfair. That's bullying. Because I think I was wearing my lobster shorts, which is a real piece of clothing that I own.
Carolina.
Mahomes.
Chicago.
Mahomes.
Cincinnati.
Mahomes. Stick with a bet.
Cleveland.
Mahomes.
Dallas.
Mahomes.
Denver.
Ooh, Mahomes. Me and my housemates were taking like family photos around the dumpster because it was really just very fitting. I just told you there are 17 starting quarterbacks in the NFL I'd rather have than Alex Smith. Four guys who could go in the direction. I split that off. I just put Alex Smith at 20. Is that true? Did I just put Alex Smith at 20? Oh, God. My Twitter mentions are going to be a pain.
Detroit.
Mahomes.
Green Bay.
Mahomes.
Houston.
Mahomes.
Indianapolis.
Mahomes, obviously.
Jacksonville.
Mahomes.
Kansas City.
Mahomes. But you can't get caught wearing flannels with, like, just jeans. And you look like everybody else. I don't like that. I'm going to bring out the flannel with some jorts, the flannel with my some joggers that look like they're from the women's section, even though they're not. They just hug my figure.
Chargers.
Mahomes.
Rams.
Mahomes.
Dolphins.
Mahomes.
Minnesota.
Mahomes.
New England.
Mahomes.
New Orleans.
Mahomes on the range. Like, one of these days in the winter, I'll wear my, like, DIY Kanye sweater, which is just a black crew neck sweater that I just, like, cut a bunch of holes in, essentially. It's great. It's great. And it's... I'll defend it to death.
New York.
Mahomes.
New York.
Mahomes.
Oakland.
Mahomes, obviously.
Philly.
Mahomes.
Pittsburgh.
Don't play. Mahomes.
San Francisco.
Mahomes.
Seattle.
Easy. Mahomes. Listen, right now, I'm dead serious. You better do this or we're all getting fired. After I'm done saying this, turn off my mic and put me in queue so only you can hear me so I can say something mean to you. Thank you. I told Beards something bad.
Tampa Bay.
Obviously Mahomes.
Tennessee.
Mahomes.
Washington.
Mahomes. Priest Mahomes? Oh my God. Oh
my God. You can't stop.
Oh my God.
You can't stop.
Oh no.
Isn't this a sports show?
Back to sports.
Thank you. Every caller.
Almost entirely.
Like, he is a bipartisan bleep talker. That's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be known as a bipartisan bleep talker.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I gain energy by talking. I'm a plant in that way, and my photosynthesis isn't with sunlight, it's with attention. I am bacterial.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
You know they're probably not going to talk about on ESPN? Too many spider boys.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
People are about to destroy you on Twitter.
I know, I'm ready for it. Oh, but if you want to destroy me on Twitter, it's at JB Briscoe. Follow me, then destroy me.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Listen, man, I don't know how many shows on the planet are beating that in the first 2 minutes. Some damn good work from Beards McFly. You're now a quarter century into your life, right? Your birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday, Beards. You are 25. Unfortunately, you just peaked. Well, last week we had some good shows, man. I'll put up those 2 minutes of radio against damn near everybody.
I mean, Thursday we submitted that show for Marconi.
Yeah,
and we're going to win
I think
that.
I think we're going to win it.
We're actually going to have to be a write-in, though, because they've already got the
ballots out.
The ballots out, yeah. So we're going to have to be like a write-in vote.
But I honestly, good God. You can't. How many? No, I guess this isn't true. I'm going to rephrase all of this before I even say it. If you heard those last 2 minutes, that 2.5 minute long last week on, and you didn't like it, just leave. This is not because I don't want you. I do. I want you to stay, but I think you're going to be disappointed because I don't know if we can do better than that.
I think most of that was from Thursday, by the way.
I mean,
like,
you
the first
didn't even,
15 minutes were that,
you
that
didn't
was a great
even
show.
Get you didn't even get the clip of me saying that if I didn't get into the 8-10 zone for free, I'd get put on a damn throne.
It was a late cut. Like, I had everything done that was in there, and then I went,
the phrase,
"Oh wait, the Priest Mahomes clip isn't in there. I need to delete something right now."
I said the phrase, unhand me, I am talent. And that didn't make the cut of the best 2 minutes of last week. Mahomes. That's just very good work by you. It's a very good summary. In fact, genuinely...
Here, hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
Since it didn't make the cut,
yeah.
We'll play it now.
Okay, fine.
Excuse me.
I'm talent. I'm talent, sir. Unhand me.
Well, honorable mention.
That was an honorable mention. I mean... I just...
We were texting about it, too, and God. You were like, keep it under 2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
It was 2.5. And I was like, one's worth it.
It didn't feel too long. It didn't feel like, oh, God, that was an eternity of hearing little funny clips. No, that was good. Splicing it up with all the Mahomes and everything. You stuck the landing on Priest Mahomes. Yeah, that's good stuff. In fact, that's so good that I'm going to change the beginning of the show right now. Because I want as many people to hear that as possible. I was going to talk about the fight first, and then I was going to do some royal stuff and do Chiefs in the second hour. We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to just do the Chiefs stuff now, because I'm going to podcast this whole feed on the Rough and the... This whole hour on the Rough and the Kicker feed, because that's where all the Chiefs stuff goes, because, you know, I'm still working on converting a bunch of people, right? I'm trying to bring the Chiefs-only people over to the full show. And this is it. Did you hear the beginning? That's what you're missing. And we're at a point now where, like... And Beards has an itchy trigger finger when it comes to marking the funny stuff. But you could do a 30-second one of those every show. Say, yesterday on... And I'll have said something dumb about Pat Mahomes' fashion...
I think,
or Beards turning 25.
I think on the first day I marked about 40 things.
Yeah, because we got to make. You haven't even listened. Another side note, and we're going to talk about the fact that the Chiefs made a pretty decent sized trade, and that they're starting running backs out for the year. But I did a little bit of that yesterday over on Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810. I cannot stress this enough, Beards, for you and for everybody else who's currently listening right now. Go to my Twitter at JB Briscoe. And I tweeted out the podcasts from Sunday. You can see them at 810whb.com. Go to podcast, additional programming. They'll be right there at the top. The 2 hours we did yesterday were really good. Charlie and Rudy were both like kind of a part of the whole thing. Talking about the fight yesterday was bizarre. We talked about horoscopes for half an hour. Like, hour one had some good nonsense. Hour two had some good, like, Spencer Ware analysis. That's what the show is, man.
That's what Thursday was. We spent the first 15 to 20 minutes talking about your space hoodie.
Right, yes.
And other stupid stuff you wear.
Yes. Ideally, that's what this show will be. In fact, like, I got here a little later than I usually do today. And you and me and Charlie ended up talking about some, like, show work stuff that we're working on. And I think the best possible thing might be for us to put, like, an embargo on speaking to each other before the show starts. So the first 15 minutes of the show is just like, so what did you do yesterday? And why are you wearing that shirt? What is going on? I have a pineapple on my hat today. Have you seen that? Hold on. You see that, Beards? I can't see you not because I'm facing away from you.
Yes. It's a very small pineapple.
I have a small pineapple. A very small pineapple.
I was expecting bigger.
Size isn't everything.
That's been marked.
Some people just have a smaller pineapple. It's one of those. I have a story about this hat. This is how this is great. This is great. We're going to talk Chiefs, and I know this is the other thing that I have a problem with. Sometimes I know my audience too well, especially when it comes to Chiefs talk. We're what, 8 minutes into the show right now? The Chiefs stuff is coming. Listen, if you're listening right now for the Chiefs stuff, if you saw the headline of this.
Oh, hey, we've got a caller on line one over there.
Okay, caller one.
Stick to sports.
Thank you. Hung up on you again. But here's the thing. Some people click this podcast and it says, like, more on Spencer Ware to injured reserve, which isn't official yet, but whatever, and breaking down the Chiefs trade. And like, all right, hell yeah, Chiefs trade. And they clicked it and we're 10 minutes in and I'm about to explain the story of this pineapple hat that I'm wearing. But here's the thing, you guys... First of all, I hope you just enjoy this. I truly do. I truly hope that you enjoy this. I know some of you aren't gonna. I know some of you literally just want Chiefs talk. And I'm not even trying, this is not even like one of those instances where I sneakily start the show talking about like protests and like how Marcus Peters was on the exercise bike during the national anthem and no one said anything until the next day. We might talk about that later, maybe. But I'm not going to try to sneak in some of that before. I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to explain where I got this pineapple hat. On, and it relates to the biggest sporting event of this year. On Saturday night, my girlfriend and I went to the 810 zone because I'm talent. So cover charge, please. Plebeians, for maybe. Not me. I barrel in and we get there. We sit down, everything. And then Cody texts me. He's like, hey, what time are you guys going to get there? I'm like, oh, we just got here, actually. Cody's like, the real fight's not until like 10:30. At this point, it's 7 o'clock. And I just sort of stare at the 75 TVs around me. And Renee starts Googling places around the area that we could go burn like an hour. And we just got nothing. I felt like her suggestions were all like walking outside. It was like 82 degrees. I'm not about to go do that and get all sweaty. Absolutely not. And eventually she says, well, we could go to Burlington and look at clothes. I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. So we go, but here's the twist. I had been to the exact same Burlington like 3 days prior. It's the one right across the street from the studio, actually. Now, I did think, oh, you know what? I wanted to actually see if they had this jacket in a different size because I found a jacket that I liked. It didn't fit. I went back and I'm like, no, I didn't have it. She buys some stuff. I'm there, you know, divvying out that fashion advice. And then she's trying stuff on, and I'm just roaming around. Because I was in this Burlington like 3 days ago. Not a sponsor, but God, I wish they were. At Burlington, hook me up. And I walk over to the hat section, and I find this hat. Well, among several others that are kind of interesting. But here's the thing. I have a comically large head. I spent $50 on a Chance the Rapper hat at the Chance the Rapper concert a couple of months ago. On its largest snapback setting, it does not fit on my head. It's not particularly close. This hat is one of those five-panel hats that doesn't have the little squatchy on the top, which is what it's called, by the way. And it's got kind of like that, the vents on the side and everything. I've never been able to wear these types of hats. They've always been too small. This one fits. It's on the second-to-last snap, but it fits. It had a pineapple on it, and it was $3. So I bought it. And then we went back to the 810 zone. I had some nachos. We watched the fight. Story of how I got this pineapple hat. Is that riveting or what? Beers told me to check my text, but I don't have any texts.
Charlie texted us both, said stick to sports.
Thank you. Thank you, every producer. Ah, there it is. The text just came through. Riveting. Riveting stuff. Did you get any emails in this last couple of minutes, Beards? This is very inside sports, inside radio.
Who am I looking for emails from?
I actually almost just read the email on it, and that would have been bad. It's just some Royals audio that we might play in the second hour. It just made me laugh. It's all from Derek. It just made me laugh.
Okay.
I looked at my phone, I just saw a bunch of emails from Derek. Like, what's going on? Derek Hagelin, host of Into the Woods from 11 to noon here on ESPN Kansas City. That's definitely my new thing. I'm definitely going to mess up the name of that show every time I say it. I don't know why. That just seems like the right thing to do. Hashtag preset ESPN KC. All right, so Spencer Ware's on the injured reserve. He's not really, but he's out for the year, ostensibly. Not officially yet. And the Chiefs traded a 2016 second-round pick, Reggie Ragland, the linebacker from the Buffalo Bills, and they gave up a 2019 fourth-round pick to get him. We're going to reset. Whenever we come back, we'll break down both of those things here on Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I also have a tab open on my Chromebook that I just closed. I don't know why. Jurassic Park Builder was open. It makes no sense. I have no idea why that would even be there.
Like building your own Jurassic Park?
Yeah, I think it was like a Facebook
like the Sims game.
It was like a roller coaster
the
tycoon
Sims
kind of thing. Yeah, I don't even know why that was open. Never even heard of that.
Now I gotta look this up.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I mean, it looked like it was a Facebook game.
Yep, Facebook.
That's some good work by us. Nice.
There's a wiki.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I didn't know how that liner was gonna end. What a roller coaster. Not a tycoon pun. Seriously, you know how you know whenever one of those is good? Whenever I laugh in real life at the same time as I laughed in the
liner. The exact same way, too. It was really funny.
It's really good. I heard this silence. Like, God, this was riveting radio. Yep, Facebook. Perfect. Perfect. I said last week, at the beginning of last week, I don't think we've been having enough fun on this show. I think the first week and a half or whatever of this show is pretty serious. We're fixing that. We're fixing that very
much.
Thursday
was great, man. I made so many new liners just from Thursday. We're going to have fun today.
My head's been spinning this whole time. God, yeah, just good. Just good work so far today. We might have peaked 22 minutes in, but you know. All right, so let's talk about the Chiefs then. I promised last segment we would talk Chiefs simply because I want as many people as possible to hear the beginning of this show and then to start listening to this show on a daily basis, not just for the Chiefs stuff, but also because, hot damn, where else are you going to find Jurassic Park Builder breakdowns on Sports Talk Radio in Kansas City?
There's a wiki.
I want this show to have a Wikipedia page. Extra credit, Beards. That's your extra credit project. Get this show a Wikipedia page. It's going to take some time. That's okay. And that's okay. Let's talk about the Chiefs. A couple interesting things have been happening. So the Chiefs made a trade today, and I knew something had happened because my phone had completely been wiped with notifications. I was all caught up on everything, and then I started making my 25-cent stir fry with some just pure deliciousness. I had chopped up some onion and some dropped a couple eggs in, then added my sort of like soy sauce chicken ramen noodles. It was great. I was on Chopped in my own mind. And I made this delicious pile of noodles. Then I sat down, looked at my phone, and had like 30 tweets. Went, oh my God, what's going on? Who signed Colin Kaepernick? Or when did the Chiefs cut Alex Smith? No, none of that. They made a trade for an inside linebacker, but it's actually got some potential to be kind of a sexy trade, depending on you know what turns you on in this football world, this crazy football world. If you're an inside, if you're a thumper, if you're a fan of thumpers, this might get you going. So they traded a 2019 fourth round pick, which is kind of nuts. You're trading a fourth round pick. Not from the next draft, but the draft after that, for a second round pick in 2016, Reggie Ragland. Now, he spent the last year in training camp in Buffalo. He was found to have a heart condition. He played linebacker at Alabama, which is always something that I am willing to take a chance on. That's a good start in my book. He had a heart condition that hurt his draft stock a little bit. He tore his ACL in August 2016. So he's virtually he's essentially a rookie. He was drafted in the second round of 2016. He tore his ACL in August 2016. Very, very little playing time. In fact, like single digit snaps, if I remember correctly, actually. This is something that if I would have thought of, I would have looked up beforehand. And Beards is doing something more important than listening, so I'm going to do it myself, and I've almost got it. Don't worry about it, Beards. I don't want you to hurt yourself cutting liners or whatever it is that you're doing. What are you doing?
I'm cutting audio.
During the show?
Yeah.
Fantastic. I literally can't get his stats to come up. I think he played like single digit snaps in Buffalo. I'll figure that out later. But so the Chiefs make the move here and take a gamble on a guy at a significantly lower value. He's an example in one way why I think maybe your first concern should be thrown out the window. He might not have played an actual NFL game, now that I think about it. He might have gotten hurt in the preseason last year. I guess August he would have had to have. There you go. Great. All right. I'm a genius. God, that this has been such a good first segment, such a bad second segment so far. But so he barely even gets his toes into the NFL water. And whenever I saw this trade come through, my first thought was, okay, well, the Bills are moving on from this guy. That scares me because they invested a second-round pick in him a little over a calendar year ago. Why are the Chiefs trading a fourth-round pick? Fourth-round picks are valuable. Those mean something in the NFL. And then I realized the contradictory nature of this whole thing. A 2016 second round pick turning into a 2019 fourth round pick in 2017 is a really good exercise of just how little draft picks actually mean. They get traded around as the currency in the NFL. It's very rare to see just a player for player trade. It's pretty rare to even see players and draft picks move whenever both teams end up giving up an actual guy, not just a draft pick. With all that being said, a 2016 second round pick last year, I think it was pick 41 or something, that would have been a very expensive pick. That guy just got shipped off for a fourth round pick, not next year, but the year after. So don't freak out about the fourth round 2019 pick. Not afraid about that. This is still a good investment. Because you found out information that I could not unravel.
Yeah, he didn't take any snaps last year because he missed the entire season due to an ACL.
All right,
he had a training camp.
Okay, there's the thing that I needed from you. Great.
So he missed the entire 2016 season.
I
injured reserve.
The listeners and I get to have a little moment now. And they go, didn't he already say that he had an ACL tear that knocked him out of the whole season? Was Beards just not listening? That's correct. Beards missed that part. However, he added the fact that he got hurt in the preseason during training camp. So there we go. He played he has not played a regular season NFL snap. I think
you're
he
right,
played,
I wasn't listening.
Right. I knew you were not listening. I knew that. I knew for sure you were not listening. I wish I could redo this segment. Live radio, baby. Ain't nothing like it. So he's kind of a blank canvas. What are the drawbacks here? What does this mean for this year's team? The drawbacks are that he hasn't looked the same since that ACL tear, but that makes sense. In fact, most of the time you hear people talk about ACL tears requiring 2 years of full recovery time before you're back at the level you were at previously. He is now at a year, essentially. He has now had a calendar year to recover, and he's been playing in the preseason. He hasn't looked that great. In fact, the Bills head coach said that he was fighting for a roster spot. That makes me a little bit, not nervous, but it kind of makes me go, oh, God, you had to give up a fourth rounder in 2019 to get him and have him skip the waiver process. But listen, this is something that Brett Veach just did very blatantly, and I'm fine with it. He said, we're not going to wait for waivers. We're not going to have the 25th or 26th or 27th waiver claim and then wait for 26 teams to pass on some inside linebacker to make our lives easier. We're going to make this move now. And I'm good with that. You're taking a pretty deep future fourth round pick and saying, this guy that was had a first round value before the heart condition thing in 2016. This is a guy that we're going to go ahead and spend a future asset for that's going to help our team now and hopefully will be a starter for this team in 2019. Now, I think there's a better chance that he's not on this team in 2019 than there is that he is starting for this team in 2019, but that's their mindset. And Brett Veach has been very aggressive about improving this linebacker situation. He saw a problem, and he's been aggressive about fixing it. They went and brought back Josh Malga, who they cut again today. So Josh Malga is done here. They went and traded DJ Alexander for Kevin Pierre-Lewis. Justin March has been getting moved up and down the depth chart. They drafted Akeme Ligwe. He's in this whole conversation. I think there are a lot of very interesting things going on in this linebacker room now. The inside linebackers seem to me to be clearly Derek Johnson and Ramiq Wilson. Ragland's trying to compete for that second spot against Ramiq Wilson, but Wilson has the advantage of being in the system for a while. Kevin Pierre-Louis, the next man up. In fact, Ragland and Kevin Pierre-Louis seem to have kind of inverse strengths, not from the film that I have so eagerly chewed through, but from what I've seen from people who have actually broken down the film, saying that Kevin Pierre-Louis is an ideal inside linebacker on third down situations where he has to cover somebody, and that Ragland is a thumper, a guy who's going to be there to stop the run in the first and second down situations when it seems like the ball is going to travel on the ground. So maybe there's a little bit of a rotation between those two guys where together they make a Pro Bowl caliber linebacker. I could buy into that. I don't think Justin March Lillard is going to make this team. He won the starting job last year out of camp, but he has just slid down the depth chart this year. He's getting a lot of work on special teams, and we know that Dave Tobe is going to get to pick a couple of guys and say, we need to keep this guy. But Kevin Pierre-Louis is getting a lot of run on special teams. So is Akeme Ligwe. Ligwe is going to make this team also. And then you've got you have the obvious Justin Houston, D Ford, Tom Bahali, Daddy Nicholas, and that outside. So I think nine linebackers are going to make this team, which feels like kind of a high number. Houston, Ford, Holly, Nicholas, Ligwe, Johnson, Wilson, Pierre-Louis, Ragland. That's your nine. There are nine linebackers there on a team that's going to be making some interesting roster moves. And this is roster cut week. I think it's Friday. Beards, hey, there's something where you can help. I'll tell you exactly what to look for because sometimes I'm afraid that you're not listening. When is the official roster cut day for NFL teams this year? They're going all the way from 90 to 53. I think it's on Friday. And the Chiefs play on Thursday against the Titans, where Patrick Mahomes will be starting, so that will give you something interesting to look out for, although he's going to be starting behind the terrible offensive line, which does, you know, sort of dampen the mood a little bit. Did you see where the cut day is, Beards?
September 2nd prior to 4 p.m.
Which day is September 2nd?
September 2nd this year is...
I think it's Friday.
A Saturday.
Okay. Fine. There you go. So the Chiefs play, and the cuts will start before that. Make no mistake. I don't think a whole lot of teams are going to say, here are our 30 guys. Although, some teams are going to try to sneak guys down to the practice squad, try to sneak guys over. A lot of teams are going to be monitoring this very closely, including the Chiefs. In fact, I think the Chiefs, whenever I saw a Chiefs trade, my first thought was, who did they get a corner from? Seeing a deal like this made sometime later this week for a 2019 fifth-round pick or a 2019 second-round pick for a corner of some caliber would not surprise me one bit. The Bills are in a place where they are just shipping pieces out right now for draft picks to try to rebuild for the future. So that's all very interesting. Also, LeSean McCoy is... poor LeSean McCoy. That team is getting stripped right now, and he's going to have to stay there. He's too talented for that team, but I digress for now. That's my take on the linebacker situation. I'm excited to see Ragland get in some work here. You feel good about him stepping in to slow down the run game. It's something that I had been getting significantly less worried about because I do think Ramiq Wilson has some real talent. But this makes me think that maybe the Chiefs disagree. Maybe the Chiefs look at Ramiq Wilson and say, that's a guy who's doing enough here but doesn't have a much higher ceiling. Ragland is certainly a guy who is, I think you can still say, dealing with some second-round potential. That was what was invested in him very, very recently. If he comes back from that ACL injury healthy at all, looking like he's getting any of that explosiveness back, if the heart condition isn't a long-running problem, then this is a guy who you not only expect to be a part of this team this year, but this is a guy that you expect to eventually maybe step in and take Derek Johnson's place. Now, that's being very hopeful to say that you're going to have a guy maybe take over as a starter in 2018 or 2019 with a 2019 fourth-round pick. is a bit of a jump. I'm not going to predict that, but I think that's what the Chiefs are thinking. Kevin Pierre-Louis, I don't think is a starting caliber linebacker in any way, but I think he's a very, very good third or fourth guy you could have in that conversation, depending on the situation. I feel better about the Chiefs' run defense today than I did yesterday because they essentially, depth chart-wise, replaced Josh Malga with Reggie Ragland, and that's something that I can be optimistic about. Josh Malga's a guy who fit into some gaps here and there and made a couple of plays here and there, got cut and came back. Ragland's a guy that at least has an interesting enough ceiling. So I'm excited for that. Mentioned that it's roster cut week and that on Thursday, none of the starters are going to play. We talked a lot recently about, and some of this came down on early Friday with the, Saturday. When was the preseason game? Friday. Yeah, because the fight was Saturday. There we go. Some of this came in early Friday, and we talked about it here on this show, and we talked about it a lot over on Chiefs postgame. The guys who weren't playing on Friday gave me some pause. Daddy Nicholas still rehabbing from his long-term injury. Eric Berry was getting rest with his heel injury. Tano Passanio and Justin Houston both had the flu. Neither of them played on Friday night. I don't think any of those guys are going to be playing on Thursday either. They don't need to be. Maybe Terrence Mitchell gets trotted out there to do a little bit of moving around. But here's the thing with Terrence Mitchell that both concerns me and gives me some hope is that generally the thing that hamstring injuries need is rest. And the Chiefs can afford to give Terrence Mitchell a full another 2 weeks of rest, essentially, almost a week and a half of rest before the Patriots game. So if he doesn't play on Thursday, I'll think, well, okay, they've decided the best thing for him is some rest. If he plays on Thursday, I'll think, all right, good. They gave him as much rest as reasonably possible. They want to get him on an NFL field for a few reps to make sure that he's ready to go whenever Tom Brady is out there. Those are the ways that I can make the situation positive. The concern that I have is that hamstring injuries tend to nag. We'll talk about Spencer Ware here in just a little bit, but Spencer Ware and Dee Ford last year both had very good seasons derailed by hamstring injuries. You can frame it in lots of different ways. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter telling me that Spencer Ware is terrible, and those people weren't watching the same thing I was watching last year. I've seen lots of people on Twitter telling me that Dee Ford is terrible. Those people were not watching what I was watching last year. Whenever both of them started dealing with hamstring injuries, they both got worse. There's a little bit of an Occam's razor thing here. The simplest answer is the best one to go with. Yeah, Dee Ford switched sides of the field about the same time that his hamstring injury kicked in. Yeah, Spencer Ware wore down. But for both of those guys, you telling me that one of their legs isn't working as well as it was earlier in the season? That's probably the reason that they weren't playing as well. I'm willing to go ahead and take that excuse. And Dee Ford also mentioned it this offseason, which surprised me at the time, that Dee Ford said, yeah, I was dealing with his hamstring injury. He brought it back up in a way to say, like, this is something that I'm going to be not having to deal with this year. That's exciting and fantastic news if he can stay healthy. All of that being said, Terrence Mitchell's hamstring has been grinding him down for 4 weeks now, something like that. I was out at training camp whenever it happened. I'm trying to remember exactly what day I was out at training camp. But it was before the preseason games had begun. And I simply have no idea if Terrence Mitchell would have played at these regular season games. But I'm pretty confident that if you don't play in preseason week 3, you definitely couldn't have played in week 1 or 2. Week 3 is the one where I expected Mitchell to get put out there and to see him actually get some game speed action. And he was not active on Friday. That worries me. I don't remember how I got there. I don't remember how we got to this place talking about Terrence Mitchell's hamstring again, but it's something I'm very worried about. There's some like parable or something about how like this might be a Bible thing and it might be like Gandhi. I have no idea, honestly, but it's like the mouth is the overflow of the heart or something like that. What you truly feel, you know, what you truly believe, eventually that is what you say. Do you have the phrase for me, Beards? This is a case where Beards just jumped into action. If there's an idiom for him to look into or some piece of history, he is all over it. If I'm asking how many snaps, hell, if I'm asking who Reggie Ragland is, he's like, oh, he got hurt last year, I think. Oh, this says here he has a heart condition. Have you mentioned that yet? No. Yeah, Beers. Regardless of what,
Did you hear Reggie Ragland got hurt?
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a Bible verse, by the way.
Okay, do you have it?
From Luke 6:45. Let's see here.
Fantastic.
There's about 15 different translations. Let me find a good one.
Find me the give me the NIV.
NIV version.
Yeah.
Let's see if it's on here.
All right, the ES, not ESL. I think ESL is ESL there. I should know these things.
NIV version. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart.
All right.
Speaks what the heart is full of.
Is the word like overflow in any of them? How about the Message version? The Message is a Bible translation that's just like in very modern language. So it's actually kind of controversial. I'm curious to see how that's handling it. This show has been very weird this hour. Beards reads Bible verses. We'll make an imaging for this next week. I just want to make my Terrence Mitchell point. Please just find me one with the word overflow in it or something like that, Beards. Please. Please let me make my Terrence Mitchell point. You got it?
Holman Christian Standard Bible.
That sounds made up and heretical. Okay.
It's here. A good man produces good out of the good storeroom of his heart. An evil man produces evil out of the evil storeroom, for the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart.
There. Okay. That's what I needed. I needed that this whole time. Thank you, illegal version of the Bible.
I've got the International Standard Version as well, if we want that.
Just the last part, please.
Hold on. Here's the Weymouth New Testament Version.
Oh, my God.
From the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks.
Okay, all those were fine. The point I was making. I will never forget that phrase again, or that it's from the Book of Luke, because I never want to go down that rabbit hole again on live radio.
Reggie Ragland has a torn ACL.
Shut up. Here's my point. I said I don't know why we ended up talking about Terrence Mitchell. I think what it is that. What I'm feeling in my heart, what my heart is full of, is deep, deep concern about Terrence Mitchell's health, which has then overflown in the form of my words. And so now I am speaking about how worried I am about Terrence Mitchell, because that is what I'm feeling in the innermost realms of my heart. I genuinely do not remember how we got here, but that's what I'm afraid of. Whenever we come back, I want to talk about Spencer Ware. A bunch of y'all on Twitter are undervaluing the Chiefs' most experienced running back. That's next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I don't know if today was a really good show or a really trash one.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
This is the hardest bump music for me. I want to just wait until the verse gets here and then just rap it all. So I know all the words, and this is just the instrumental. I'm not going to do it. But I want to. Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. 1510 AM and 99.3 FM. The Chiefs played a preseason game. It was gross. It was very gross. The grossest thing about it is the Chiefs lost their most accomplished running back. And the response to it has been baffling to me. Truly. Now, part of the comment section on Arrowhead Addict, where like the podcast of yesterday's show went up, ended up becoming a discussion about Dee Ford being underrated last year. And these people don't know how to read. And I know that I'm not offending any of them by saying that, because none of them actually listen to the show, the podcast, live, whatever. Do they just see the headline and then comment? And God, if you're one of those people, please stop. Please stop reading the headline and then commenting. You're not helping. If you're listening to this, though, I guess then you're not that guy. So never mind. This is like the definition of preaching to the choir. regardless, some of the pushback on the Spencer Ware thing is shocking. Like, I just, the headline of this was, Spencer Ware's injury adds to offensive uncertainty. And one of the comments just says, nope, it doesn't. Okay, Jack R. Powers, literally his name. Fine, bleep me. I'm a dope. Durf, come on. The Chiefs lost their most powerful runner and a guy who last year was really, really good until he got hurt. That's all I'm saying. That's not controversial. I think through the first like 6 weeks of the season, he was one of the hottest fantasy pickups in the NFL because he was getting a lot of work. He was being used very efficiently by the Chiefs. He was scoring touchdowns. He was a huge part of the offense last year. That hamstring injury totally changed him. So I'm excited. I'm as excited about Kareem Hunt as anyone I've talked to. Honestly, I saw him out at training camp. I talked to him in the press availability, whatever thing. Watched him as be a part of this offense. Watched him talk about being a part of the offense. I believe in Kareem Hunt. I know no one cares about anyone else's fantasy team, but to illustrate this point, I've done one fantasy football draft so far. I took Kareem Hunt in like the 9th round because I thought that he would eventually end up getting a lot of quality playing time in this offense. I believed in all of that well before Spencer Ware's injury. The problem is that he was not supposed to take over all at once. This is not how I wanted the Kareem Hunt experience to begin. I was very hopeful about this offense with the combination of Spencer Ware and Kareem Hunt. Running backs and quarterbacks should not be treated the same way. You know, the people say, well, if you got two quarterbacks, you have none. Running backs are not that way. And I don't want to argue that Spencer Ware is the next great running back that connects the Jamaal Charles and Kareem Hunt era. I'm not arguing that. You know, I wanted to point out the fact that Priest Holmes and Larry Johnson were on the same team for a while, in case you forgot. It's good to have guys be able to share the workload. Being an NFL running back is physically impossible. The number of guys that can do that for a full season are so limited. Adrian Peterson lost a knee. Who's going to hold up through that through a career? That's why running back careers are so short, and running back seasons are often so short. Spencer Ware tearing up his knee in the preseason is another example of that. And Spencer Ware was the best short down back on this team. He's the most accomplished back on this team, unless you want to go back years to Spencer to whenever CJ Spiller was accomplished. This is a guy who also is more versatile than you would expect. Spencer Ware is a guy that I thought was going to be the power back last year, essentially. Going into last season, I thought, all right, well, Spencer Ware is going to be kind of the power back. Tre'Kendrick West will be the guy who dances around. Spencer Ware was everything. Spencer Ware was the power back. Spencer Ware was catching passes out of the backfield very well. Spencer Ware was dancing around guys and also trucking them. I don't know how you can look at the loss of Spencer Ware and not say, oh, yeah, that hurts. But hey, people talk themselves into it, man. I've been very optimistic in lots of places with this team. But there are some Chiefs fans that really do sort of try my patience. And I say that as a part of that in-group. I am also objectively a Chiefs fan. They're the team on the planet I care most about. So I say this as a Chiefs fan. Some Chiefs fans drive me crazy. There are some people in the comment section, like Tito on Arrowhead Addict. So I think the loss of Ware and Mackle definitely hurt an offense was already pretty limited, and I expect them to be worse than the last few years. I'm with this guy. There are some people that show up in these same comment threads saying, yeah, I don't think they're going to miss Terry Mack on that much. Chris Conley's going to be the guy. Are they not going to miss Spencer Ware? CJ Spiller's ready. Man, you're talking yourself into some stuff that I just don't believe in. I don't know how you can lose talented pieces of an offense that was limited last year and say we're better off now. This offense got worse when it cut Jeremy Maclin. This offense got worse when it lost Spencer Ware. And I believe in Kareem Hunt. I think Charkandrick West and CJ Spiller will be an okay 2 and 3 running back. But the Chiefs went from being fantastic 1 through 4 to being very, very average 1 through 3. And again, Kareem Hunt could be Jamaal Charles. I think that is a realistic, actual option. I think he is capable of being that kind of running back. I think he could be the next guy in a way that Spencer Ware was never going to be. But for this season, losing Spencer Ware hurts. Losing Spencer Ware is an obvious loss for this team. You cannot talk yourself out of that. It's completely disingenuous. Losing Spencer Ware hurts his offense. End of story.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
This is Almost Entirely Mahomes. Actually, let's just cut out the middle part. Yeah, this is entirely Mahomes.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Welcome to
4 to 6.
Welcome to five, just freaking Mahomes.
5 days a week, and we have a special show on Sundays called Sports Mahomes.
Yes.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Mahomes Sunday would have been better. We'll talk more about Spencer Ware here in a second. I just saw something about North Korea, and now I'm just kind of like holding my breath and waiting to feel the earth rock. I'm literally right now, like, I found this out on the way back. Oh, yeah, fantastic. Great. Great, great, great. North Korea fires missile as Japan warns citizens to take precautions. Fantastic. North Korea appears to fire a missile over Japan. Prime Minister Abe says, awesome. CNBC.com, this was an hour ago. Japan government warns North Korea missile headed toward northern Japan. Sweet. Also, Whole Foods is now selling Amazon Echoes. Just some other stuff that's going on right now. This says over northern Japan. North Korea launches missile. I'm sorry, we're going to go back to Spencer Ware in just a second. Just hold on. North Korea launches missile over northern Japan. If initial reports of a long-range missile over U.S. ally prove true, the act will be regarded as more provocative than previous short-range missile launches. So maybe this is more like saber-rattling. But it's like, here, you know how powerful? We're going to shoot this over a place. Looking forward to that. Fire and fury. Very exciting.
We have imaging if you want to keep reading that article.
Oh, no. I closed it. That didn't even cross my mind because I was just thinking, you know, oh my God, North Korea's shooting missiles now. Great, great, great. All right, let's talk about Spencer Ware. I forgot also Spencer Ware had the concussion last year. He and Alex Smith both sustained concussions in the Colts game, I believe. They both missed the Jags game where Nick Foles started and then I guess Charkandrick West started. That was all also a part of Spencer Ware's season. So just for kicks here. Those first 7 weeks of the year before the concussion, Beard, you said you had month-by-month splits. That's probably going to be better than this because that Colts game was on October 30th. So I'm going to pull up the splits here, 2016.
I've got them up if you just want me to read them.
I don't know what I want you to read necessarily, but go ahead. Give me like yards. Give me yards per rushing attempt in September and October, and then in November, December.
In September, it was 4.93 rushing yards per attempt. It was 5.07 in October. November was 4.13. December was 3.32. He was also a big passing target in
yes,
the first half of the year
like
as well.
That, yeah.
In September, he averaged about 61 yards per game. October was 32. November was 19. December was 18.
There's a pretty clear bell curve there. If I heard all those numbers correctly, and boy, I do wish I could figure out how to get the months to come up. Oh, I found them! Stupendous. Thank you, ProFootballReference.com. There's a pretty sizable bell curve here of what Spencer Ware was doing in September and October versus November and December. He had 185 receiving yards in September, 128 in October, 59 in November, 75 in December. Yards per target, 15.4, 11.6 in those first 2 months. After the concussion, 8.4, 6.2. Spencer Ware was never right after the concussion and while he was being nagged by the hamstring. I think the hamstring is the bigger deal, the bigger nagging issue. But also he played the same number of games in each half of the season. He played seven in September and October and seven in November and December. Not necessarily halves, but I'm giving you equal sample sizes there. Three November, four October, three September, four October, three November, four December. This is a guy who had significant wear down, no pun intended, in the second half of the season. The offense, especially on the ground, got significantly worse in the second half of the season. So I'm as excited as the next guy about Kareem Hunt. I might be more excited about the next guy than about Kareem Hunt. And I think CJ Spiller seems to have something. I think Charkendrick West seems to have something. But that's still objectively a loss. I don't know how you can have any other perspective on that. It seems insane to me. That some responses to this could just be, nope, not a problem. Also, there are a lot of other things from Friday night's game, and we're going to be getting into Chiefs stuff this whole week, obviously. I mean, the entire life of this show is going to have Chiefs stuff on a daily basis. So we'll break down some other specific things. Obviously, though, the trade today and Ware's injury diagnosis are the real most newsworthy things from this weekend in the world of the Chiefs. And if you want to hear about the fight and everything, you can go back and listen to the podcast from Sports Sunday. It's on my Twitter, at JB Briscoe, in case you're new. You're not new, and you knew my Twitter. But there are a lot of themes in the game on Friday night. Do you not know what I'm doing here, Beards? Beards looks very confused and very relaxed, and it means that he's not paying attention.
I thought you were telling me to mark that for your on your own.
No, I was pointing to the other computer.
Oh.
Because I want the sound that you told me you had.
Oh yeah, I've got that.
What I was trying to do is to say. There were a lot of themes in Friday night's...
I'm ready now.
Chiefs-Seahawks games. Thank you, Beards. A lot of themes. And a lot of bad ones. The offense was just purely off. Guys are dropping passes. Spencer Ware got hurt.
Penalties.
That was a problem. Flawless, Beards. Flawless execution. We should not do the rest of the show and just replay that first segment over and over. Hope people hear that.
We could do an encore of the best week, last week on.
Maybe later in the week. I just yawned into the microphone. Is that good? Is that good radio? God, what a ridiculous show we're doing. But the whole offense was bad. There were a ton of...
Penalties.
Like an unwatchable amount, honestly. But the problems from that game were offensive more than anything. The whole game was offensive to my eyes. It was kind of hilarious and also kind of terrible watching my Twitter timeline shift from, it's a third preseason game, this is the one that you can really learn about your team and you can see some things, having that tide shift over to, it's just the preseason, it's okay. And Seth Kizer went back and rewatched the game, and he tweeted this out, and I think that he's largely right here. He said, like, I went back and watched it, and frankly, the problem was drops. And without drops, then it wasn't that horrific of a performance. I can live with that. I can live with the idea that it could have been worse. But it was really ugly. Tyreek Hill had a couple of drops. One of them was just a drop. The one that where he was streaking down the sideline, I was brawling on Twitter about this. And I'm going to make myself very clear here. The pass where Tyreek Hill was streaking down the sideline, he had beaten his guy, and he was running. And he's the fastest guy in the NFL, so I put the ball in front of him. But Alex Smith couldn't step into his throw because there was some pressure there. So he threw the ball, it was behind Tyreek Hill, and he literally jumped and did like a little 180 in midair, and he still should have caught that pass. But also, Alex Smith, by underthrowing that ball, turned a touchdown into a 50-50 ball. And every time that happens this season, I'm going to pluck an eyelash out and just sacrifice to the eyelash gods, because I guess that's the problem here. I don't know where I was going with that. But truly, it's brutal. It's going to, the two things that Alex Smith can do this year that will make me want to just lop off a finger every time so I can have physical pain to match the emotional pain that I'd be feeling, is every 5-yard crossing route that he throws to Albert Wilson on 3rd and 10 or 3rd and goal from the 10, and every time he underthrows Tyreek Hill by 3 yards. And again, I understand that it was a little bit of a difficult throw for Alex Smith. That's part of the Alex Smith package, though. You ordered Alex Smith, that's what you got. You get a big steaming play to Alex Smith. Sometimes he does things that can thrill you. But you know, whenever he succeeds, his feet are exactly where they need to be. It's one of the reasons that Pat Mahomes is so exciting. He doesn't need to have, as Brad Childress has said, a perfect platform to throw a football. Mahomes and Russell Wilson did this in the same game, so it was extra painful. Mahomes is a guy that can throw from an imperfect platform and still put the ball where it actually needs to be. That's the kind of arm talent that he has. Alex Smith is not that guy. So Alex Smith either needs to have a perfect pocket every time he's going to throw to Tyreek Hill, or he's going to utilize Tyreek Hill poorly. I cannot watch 16 games of a poorly used Tyreek Hill. Now, that's also not a call for Patrick Mahomes to start. My logic for why Mahomes could reasonably start for this team this year and benefit long-term isn't about this season. It's about the long-term plan of this organization. I think I made that very clear. Some people occasionally tweet me and make me think that I must not be making it very clear. But I think I've done my best. My Mahomes arguments are not because I think he gives them a better chance this season. He probably doesn't. My arguments are that he has the best chance of winning a Super Bowl next year or the year after by starting now. I digress. That is not the point. Also, Vontaze Burfict is probably going to get suspended for 5 games for knocking Anthony Sherman's head off on a passing route. I mean, it was a gross hit, but I don't think he was penalized at the time. And I say this now because it just popped up on SportsCenter in front of me, and I forgot about it. On that deep Travis Kelce reception. I mean, it was gross, and there was some helmet-to-helmet stuff in there. But 5 games is nuts. The problem is that Burfict is a repeat offender, so it's not that insane. I just remembered that it happened, though. I wanted to touch on that. That hit alone was barely worth a 15-yard penalty, and it wasn't called in the game. It should have been called, but it wasn't. A suspension for anybody else would be crazy. Perfect has a whole history of sort of headhunting, so I get it. At the same time, it's also just like stuff like that happens in football. But whatever, I digress. It's not, I don't, Sherman is fine. If Perfect gets suspended, so be it. I have no hot takes about that. Just something I remember that I did want to touch on. Beyond that, from the preseason game, the thing, the Tyreek Hill thing that drives me nuts is, again, I'm not arguing that he should not have caught that pass. He should have caught that pass. But it's going to drive me nuts whenever I know the Chiefs have a guy on the bench who can make those throws and put the ball in front of Tyreek Hill. The difference between putting the ball in front of Tyreek Hill and putting it behind Tyreek Hill is enormous. Because whenever you underthrow Tyreek Hill, you are effectively neutralizing the thing that he does best. And that is brutal. It's an insufferable thing. And again, the offense as a whole did not look good. I do still believe that the Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill combo is going to make this offense look a whole lot better than it did, say, last night. Or not last night, Friday night. But I'm nervous about losing Spencer Ware. I hate that they lost Jeremy Maclin by choice. And the receivers are a problem. Not because of the drops on Friday, because Kelce and Hill could drop every pass from this whole preseason and they would both still definitively be the best two weapons on this offense. I hope this isn't a meme that we have to live with through the regular season, where you go, oh, Hill and Kelce dropping passes again, because that would be very bad. It would be infuriating to watch, and it would be just extremely stressful to watch this offense be hindered by drops. But I think it's Trent Paler that said that he saw Tyreek Hill drop more passes on Friday than he saw him drop the last 2 weeks of training camp. So I'm not freaking out about it yet. The thing that I am freaking out about a little bit is the rest of the offense. Because now there's no Kareem Hunt as a change of pace secret weapon. Kareem Hunt's just your dude right now, starting right now. He also has to be your short yardage dude, because and Jamaal Charles was, this is a place to be hopeful. I'm not saying that Kareem Hunt cannot be your best short yardage running back, because Beard, this is gonna be a little bit of a scavenger hunt. But can you find me all the running backs that were brought in to help Jamaal Charles? Do you understand? Yeah, because here's the thing: I can think of a couple off the top of my head right now. They went and got Thomas Jones and Peyton Hillis to be the short yardage backs for these Jamaal Charles-led offenses. And here's the little secret. Throughout all of those times, Jamaal Charles was the best short yardage back on the team. Easy. Thomas Jones and Peyton Hillis were both worse, not all-around backs, which they were obviously, but also worse individually short yardage running backs than Jamaal Charles was. So Kareem Hunt can take care of that if he is actually capable. I'm not saying that he's incapable because he's kind of a small, like, shifty guy. The NFL doesn't have a whole lot of those power backs anymore. Like, Le'Veon Bell isn't a bruiser. And he's one of the best short yardage backs in the league, by the eyeball test at least. He's going to make that happen. Same can be said for, I mean, David Johnson has maybe a little bit more of that, but he's also an asset out of the backfield. There aren't a lot of those power backs left in the NFL. But Spencer Ware is a piece that is now gone from an offense that I think needed him. Dre Maclin is gone. And now your depth continues to get shallower. I wanted to buy into Chris Conley. I think I'm selling. I think right now, if I had stock in Chris Conley, I think I would sell. And it's not just because he hasn't really been around in preseason games, although that is part of it. There was never anything out of training camp about the chemistry between Alex Smith and Chris Conley. Very little about Chris Conley making big plays. He hasn't been getting targeted by Alex Smith. I'm also out on DeMarcus Robinson. He's a guy that got a ton of hype through training camp and has gotten extremely few targets in the preseason. So two of the guys, and Justin Marshall is the other guy that I think has sort of lost his spot on this team this preseason. Two of the three guys that seem to have fallen slash been the most unheard from this preseason. Two of those guys are the guys who went into training camp as your prospective number two and number three wide receiver. That's got to rock your world a little bit. It does for me. Think about that. Really, we were talking about after the draft, going into the regular season, going into the preseason, going into the training camp, we were saying that the Chiefs had their receiver depth chart going Hill, Conley, Robinson, Chesson, and then Shontavious Jones played himself into the conversation. A couple of the lower roster guys also have done some interesting things. But your second and third receivers have done nothing all preseason. And they don't seem to be doing anything anywhere. Chris Conley's still going to be your guy. He's going to be the guy that's around. But he cannot be making you feel very confident right now. I'm not very confident in Chris Conley. Not at all. That's a position that I already had a ton of worries about. But did you find some people that were brought in to help Jamaal Charles?
I just went to Pro Football Reference and looked at the roster from the past couple years and just pulled running back names.
Sure.
Shark Kendrick West, Spencer Ware, Nile Davis, Peyton Hillis.
Nile Davis is also one of those guys a little bit, actually.
Yeah.
They drafted to bring in as a guy who would kind of be able to help the short down situations. Peyton Hillis was exactly that.
I'm going to mispronounce this last name, but I'm going to try. Nate Ekus.
He was just here for a little bit.
Patrick DeMarco.
Yeah, I think he was actually playing fullback. I think DeMarco was a fullback.
Dexter McCluster.
Yeah, different type of guy.
Thomas Jones and Jackie Battle.
Jackie Battle had a little bit of that for a little while. Thomas Jones is the ideal one from that list.
I just went down to 2011.
That's fine. That's enough down the rabbit hole. Thomas Jones is the perfect guy from that list. That I had a printout from the Kansas City Star in my room for a while that had lightning and the word lightning and a picture of Jamaal Charles on one side and thunder and a picture of Thomas Jones on the other, like before the season started. And Thomas Jones was slow rolling thunder for sure. That was one of the most interesting, kind of looking back on it, one of the most interesting threads through the Jamaal Charles era. He was always the best short yardage running back, no matter who the Chiefs brought in to try to help him with that. I'm not saying that Kareem Hunt can't do that. I'm saying I really didn't want to have to find out if he can. Not right now. So I have a bunch of concerns about this offense. And again, a couple little things from the preseason game. There were some nice things here and there. DeAnthony Thomas actually had a couple of bad kickoff returns and then a touchdown, and that was sort of the only good thing that came from the game from that perspective. I stopped paying attention at the end of the third quarter. Everything stunk. Mahomes had a couple of nice plays. He was good out of the pocket. I think I saw today that Patrick Mahomes hasn't thrown a pass from a traditional three-step drop in the preseason, which is, you know, I guess could be an indictment on Mahomes, but in reality, I think it was mostly an indictment on the offensive line. Another thing that I saw, I can't remember where this popped up. I can't remember if somebody said it to somebody else, then it showed up on Twitter, if I heard it on radio. I don't remember, so I apologize. But somebody threw out the idea of, hey, what if the Chiefs just carry two quarterbacks? And I thought, why wouldn't they? It makes perfect sense. Tyler Bray is no longer your developmental guy of the future. That's Pat Mahomes. Tyler Bray is not your backup for the now. That's Pat Mahomes. You need these roster spots. Tyler Bray costs nothing to cut. He costs over $1 million to keep. Why wouldn't the Chiefs roll with two quarterbacks? The value of Tyler Bray has been as a developmental guy in hopes that eventually he saves you from trading up for a guy like Pat Mahomes. He obviously never became that. He's not even a guy right now who's your actual backup to Alex Smith. All of the answers to, well, who is the quarterback who would... Pat Mahomes. He's the answer to all of those questions. The only question that can be asked about these quarterbacks, except where the answer is not Alex Smith or Patrick Mahomes, is who's the guy that would only ever show up in any situation if it was a complete and total utter disaster? Tyler Bray. So I thought that was very interesting, actually. Is as the Chiefs are trying to carry nine linebackers, they're trying to deal with some questionable offensive line depth. They need to carry as many pass catchers as possible. They're only carrying three running backs now with Spencer Ware's injury, but they'll be carrying Anthony Sherman also out of the backfield. Roster spots are very much at a premium right now. In fact, Cairo Santos is coming back from his injury, but he's expected to only kick field goals, at least in this fourth preseason game, according to someone I saw on Twitter. If the Chiefs need to carry an extra kicker to just do kickoffs for the first couple weeks of the season, that's an extra roster spot. Maybe the Chiefs only carry two quarterbacks. But we will continue to talk about all of the things coming up with the roster cuts, all of the problems with this roster, the places where you might be optimistic. This show is going to be so stupidly Chiefs heavy for the next, I was going to say 1 week, but really like 20 weeks, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.